Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
Getting socked.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The biggest trading scandal in world history has left Société Générale with a record quarterly loss. The French bank announced nearly $5 billion in red ink. Now there's talk that SocGen is a takeover target. Stocks are climbing in Europe this morning after some sweet earnings from Nestle. Asian markets rose overnight. Japan's Nikkei jumped nearly 3%. It was an up day on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow added 90 to 12,427. The S&P gained 11. The NASDAQ rose 20 points. These days, financial experts look to trees as a hedge against inflation. As trees grow, so does their value. Now, this country's biggest public pension fund is investing more than $2 billion in forest projects. The California Public Employee Retirement System, or CalPERS, has adopted what environmentalists are calling a trend-setting policy. Sarah Gartner has more from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
Under CalPERS' new policy, any forest investments it makes will eventually have to be certified sustainable by an independent third party. That means managed in a way that will ensure the forest's long-term survival, among other things. Lewis Bloomberg at the Nature Conservancy says CalPERS' decision may inspire not only other pension funds, but the timber industry as well.
I do think this will create another incentive for more landowners to adopt independent certification.
CalPERS and others see forests as increasingly valuable. Since forests store carbon dioxide, owners can sell carbon credits. Joanna Durbin at Conservation International says landowners are evaluating their options in light of the rapidly growing carbon market.
Managing them for their carbon value is an important part of the equation, in addition to or above and beyond their timber value.
CalPERS has been on the forefront of other green investment policies, including pressuring public companies to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. I'm Sarah Gartner for Marketplace.
Since the weekend, armed guards have been watching over a hole in the hills of eastern Germany. That's where treasure hunters say they may have discovered a cavern full of Nazi gold stolen from Russia during the Second World War. Let's go to Berlin and bring in reporter Brett Neely. So, Brett, what do these treasure hunters think they found?
This is perhaps the most famous lost treasure from World War II. It was a gift from Prussia to Russia in the 18th century. It's basically an entire room carved out of amber and gold leaf, about 6 tons worth of amber. They're not sure if they've actually found it yet. They found a cavern, but they haven't gone inside because they're worried about booby traps left over from World War II.
How did they make the discovery?
Well, the mayor of the town near where this cavern is located has been looking for this for about 10 years. Another friend of his who is a treasure hunter had a father who was in the German Air Force during the war and was sent on a secret mission to hide some treasure. And when he died recently, he, in his belongings, there were map coordinates that led them to this spot. And then they basically used a giant metal detector to search the cavern from above.
So if this really is the Amber Room, what happens next? Do these guys get rich?
What probably happens is that the German government declares it German property. But then these guys are hoping that they would get some kind of reward. But he also says that what he hopes would happen is that Germany will return it unconditionally to Russia, and that Russia in return would give back some of the looted artwork that it stole from Germany after World War II as well.
Brett Neely from Berlin, Germany. Hey, Brett, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Today's your last chance to bid for the world's largest music collection. It was listed on eBay this week with a starting bid of $3 million. The winner gets 300,000 CDs and 3 million records. Remember them? You thought the days of vinyl were over. Well, guess again. Here's Brendan Newnham.
Don McGinnis is an optimist. Who else would buy a record manufacturing plant in 1992, 10 years after the compact disc sparked a digital music revolution? A CD, after all.
It was cheaper to replicate, much cheaper to ship. The vinyl industry was dying.
Still, McGinnis couldn't resist buying the plant when his boss decided to retire. Now business at Record Tech in Camarillo, California is booming. Machines melt down vinyl pellets and pour the hot liquid onto a waiting mold. Then the presses clamp shut, oozing vinyl out the sides, and finally, a record slides onto a long spool. Vinyl makes up a minuscule part of the music market, just 0.2%. But hundreds of thousands of people still buy records, and that number is growing. According to Nielsen SoundScan, new vinyl sales were up 15% last year. So why the renewed interest? Well, you can't hear it on the radio, but record enthusiasts claim that vinyl offers a warmer, more nuanced sound. Think fresh-squeezed orange juice versus store-bought. Jason Moore, the chief vinyl buyer for Amoeba Records in Hollywood, cites another reason for the resurgence.
It's always been more personal, so much more tangible than a CD. The size, the look, you know, gatefold, you get to watch it go around. You know what I mean? Interactive?
People like displaying their records, and even flipping them over. Things you can't do as well with a CD or an MP3. Now, more and more people download MP3s for their iPods and then buy vinyl for their home collection. And these aren't just nostalgic boomers. Jason Moore again.
Everybody's out there buying records these days. This 15-year-old kid's out on the floor with Fleetwood Mac Rumors and, you know, Led Zeppelin in their arm, you know, it's like gives me hope and humanity.
For Don McGinnis, it means hope for his business.
I don't know how long 17 or 20% growth is going to last, but I have a 10-year-old son. He's much more into music than I am. And if he wanted to, 15, 20 years from now, be involved in this business, I think the business would be here.
In Camarillo, California, I'm Brendan Newnham for Marketplace.
So I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.